the corporal. They didn't seal their tent flaps. And they died for it? Men from Maine shouldn't freeze to death in Virginia. Henry met Joe's gaze. The other man dropped his eyes and muttered again, "Glory be to God." Henry couldn't show how nervous the news made him. He resolved to check the men's tent flaps at night, to make sure they stuffed their rubber blankets into every crevice and gap. He couldn't mention this to Katie in his next letter. He didn't know how he could make sense of it for her. His fingers were too cold to write anyway. Captain Clark came down the row of tents, stopping to talk at each knot of men around each fire. A few men saluted, but he paid little heed to the formalities. As he spoke, heads nodded slowly. Then he moved on. "Corporal Overstreet?" Clark said as he neared. "Captain, sir." Clark scanned the faces around the fire. Joe Maxwell loomed over the others, his sandy hair poking out from the sides of his capy cap, the brim drawn low over his eyes, even though there was little morning light to shield against. "We march at 10. This is it. The whole army. 20 extra rounds for each man."
"Fredericksburg, sir?"
Henry asked. The extra cartridges definitely meant a fight. For days they'd heard rumors about an attack on the rebels dug in there. They'd also heard rumors about attacks on Richmond or rebel assaults against Washington. But Fredericksburg was the tale they heard most.
"Nobody's saying. The newspapers say that's where General Lee has his army, so that seems like a good guess, but it's a guess."
He nodded and spun on his heel, his officer's cape billowing behind him.
"Well," Maxwell said, his eyes following Clark as he moved back up the row of tents. "The Secesh can't complain about us surprising them, can they?"
The others grunted in agreement. They assumed their generals weren't as smart or as tough or as daring as the rebel generals. That's how it had been so far.
"Eat hearty," Henry said with a small smile. "Easier to carry it in your belly than in your pack."
The march took 3 days. On the third, bugles roused them at 3 a.m, but the march didn't start for another 2 hours, triggering a cascade of grumbles. The regiment stayed together on this march, all the way to the Rappahannock, across from Fredericksburg. The rebels were dug in on the far side of the river, up on the crest of a slope that rose from the town streets. They had a commanding view of the settlement, the river, and the Union Army. The regiment joined the rest of the 5th Corps in a muddy field, close by the house where General Burnside had his headquarters. They stood there for most of the frigid day, while the engineers tried to assemble a pontoon bridge across the river. Messengers on horseback rushed to Burnside and then rushed away. Company E stood at ordered arms near the front right of the formation, close to Colonel Ames and Colonel Chamberlain and their aides. For once, Henry could overhear at least something of what was going on. George Young, his sergeant, kept stopping by for news.
"What are they saying?"
George asked in the late morning.
"Every time we get the bridge planking up on the boats near the other side, that's when the rebel sharpshooters, they're hiding in the houses over there, start picking off the engineers and the whole business falls to pieces."
"Bad day to be an engineer,"
George said. At midday, with little rise in the temperature and no orders to advance, Colonel Chamberlain approached Henry.
"Corporal,"
he said. The officer loomed nearly a head above him, his drooping mustache ends expressing a sadness that his eyes confirmed.
"Colonel, sir."
Henry snapped off the best salute he could manage. Chamberlain nodded absently.
"Have the men eat what they have. We've no idea how long we'll be here."
"Yes, sir."
"And sir?"
Chamberlain had started to move away, but looked back. "May they stand at ease?" Chamberlain looked around the ranks of blue-clad men who filled the cold, soggy field.
"I'm afraid not, Corporal. General Burnside wishes us to be ready to march on short notice."